Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I got a fine guest joining me right now live via Zoom. He is the proprietor of the Minocqua Brewing Company and the Minocqua Brewing Company Super Pack. He's my good friend Kirk Bankstead. How you doing, Kirk?
Crudy, I'm doing good, man. It's good to see you.
You're fired up, ready to go today.
Way too hard today.
You're all fired up. I can tell.
I'm fired up, man.
Kirk, big occasion. There is a lawsuit afoot. You guys are suing through the federal courts, my understanding, to block U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Congressman Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald of the great state of Wisconsin, trying to ban them from the ballot for their insurrectionist, conspiracy to overturn the election in 2020. I love it, man. And we'll talk about perhaps the chance of a favorable outcome. But, Kirk, where'd you get this bright idea?
From North Carolina, a group of citizens took Madison Cawthorn to court for the same thing. It's called Section 3 of Article 14 of the U.S. Constitution that was meant to not allow the generals and the congressmen who are fought in the Confederacy in the Civil War to hold office again, because they just vote to go back to slavery if they were allowed to hold office again. And so that's the reason this thing was put into the Constitution. But it's called, you can't run for office if you've been convicted of being a part or aiding and abetting an insurrection. So we had an insurrection in January 6th. This law is like a really old, but it holds. And that's the basis of it.
And the federal courts is the venue, but let's compare this with the Madison Cawthorn action for just a moment. Cawthorn, the people that had the claim against Cawthorn in North Carolina went to the North Carolina Elections Commission. And the Elections Commission apparently sympathetic and seemed like they might even consider upholding this ban of Cawthorn for the ballot. And then a Trump federal judge stayed any action from the Elections Commission. But you've chosen the other venue, or a differing venue. You've chosen the federal courts. Did you do that in light of the fact the Wisconsin Elections Commission is often deadlocked and sometimes feckless? No offense to bar friends Mark Thompson and Ann Jacobs, but there's only so much they can do. So the federal courts, you're looking for a federal judge to rule that a U.S. congressman, two of them, and a U.S. senator cannot appear on the ballot? Kirk, that's brassy, man.
So I want to talk about two things while I'm with you, but yes, the first thing is that the federal government really isn't charged with messing with putting people on the ballots or not in certain states. But they are allowed to talk about whether or not somebody broke the Constitution or not. So all we're doing in this federal election, because we know the WEC was meant to fail. It was created. The Wisconsin Elections Commission was created by the Republican Party so that nothing would ever get done. So WEC is boneheaded and sorry, it's never going to do anything. The Wisconsin Supreme Court can't depend on them for anything, because they're about as partisan as it gets. So we figured the only way we get a fair shake at this is at the federal courts. However, if a federal judge, by the way, we got a Democratic judge. I mean, we got a liberal.
Who'd you guys
judge.
Catch as the judge?
We got, I can't remember, Edelman. We got Edelman.
Nice.
He's like the most Democratic judge in Milwaukee, in the Eastern District, and all he has to say is these guys aided and abetted an insurrection, and we're trying to prove that. If he says that, we've got a federal judge saying that that happened, we can then take that to the WEC, which has jurisdiction on whether or not these guys get in the ballots. He's like, a federal judge just handed down this decision. You have to do something. And if they don't do something, then, I mean, then whatever happens, happens. But, like, when a federal judge says you got to do something, you usually do it, you know?
Kirk, a question of standing. We always hear about this legal question, standing. Who's the harmed individuals? Who are the plaintiffs in this suit that would have standing to block a guy like Ron Johnson or Tom Tiffany or Scott Fitzgerald from the ballot?
We've got 10 plaintiffs. So I'm just funding the case with my super PAC, but we got 10 plaintiffs from 5 different congressional districts in Wisconsin. Two of them, you know, people in Tiffany's congressional district up where I am, and then people in Fitzgerald's district, and then other people in the state, which are suing Ron Johnson. So we got representatives from all over the place. Their standing is that if this had happened, if this conspiracy to throw, basically I want to kind of run down what the actual conspiracy was too with you, but basically if the conspiracy was to throw that Wisconsin's electors out along with 7 other states, which would have allowed Trump to win, then if that conspiracy would have transpired, then these votes from these Wisconsin citizens would have not been counted or not allowed. And that gives them standing to sue because their vote should be counted, especially because we've all heard and we all know that the election was fair in Wisconsin.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine guest. He is Kirk Bangstad, the proprietor of the Minocqua Brewing Company Super PAC, and they're funding a federal lawsuit in action against U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Congress people Tom Tiffany and Scott Fitzgerald, both of the state of Wisconsin. And the allegation against these people is effectively they conspired in the insurrection. And it all kind of stems from the Eastman memo. Eastman was at the Department of Justice, was part of the Trump administration, and he was the one that put forth these very legally questionable premises that were carried out. And there was effectively a procedural coup going on, and then there was the more violent action that happened at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. But it's the procedural coup, if I'm understanding you, Kirk, and the nature of this lawsuit, it was the fact that they had willing co-conspirators in Johnson, in Tiffany, in Fitzgerald that were willing to question the outcome of the election in their own states, even though they knew that these were valid counts, that Joe Biden had won the state of Wisconsin, yet they were still willing to undertake this endeavor to procedurally overturn the election, throw it back to the states. And obviously the end game was to declare Trump the anoint him the winner.
Yep. So in our complaint, it's 70 pages. It's a freaking suspense novel. I said freaking. I didn't do anything bad, Cordy. Don't worry about it.
I'm watching it close.
So basically, yeah, Johnson had admitted to like the Republican Party chair in Green Bay that he knew this election went to Biden. That was written about by the Republican Party chair. We got that in the complaint. But this is the crux of it. This is like the 60-second pitch. So Eastman and Chesbrough, the two lawyers for Trump, devised this plan. One, they wanted 7 states to have their electors, to have a false slate of electors. And the first plan was for Pence to just accept these false electors from 7 states and Trump wins. However, even Chesbrough and Eastman knew that the country wouldn't stand for that because that's just like, that's so crazy. So their second and third plan was the ones they actually thought might happen. The second plan was to accept, was to nullify both the sets. If you have one false slate and you have another real slate, then it's so confusing that you nullify it, throw it out. You throw out the electors from 7 states. Guess what? The Constitution says that after that, each state's got one vote through the House of Representatives. If each state's got one vote, then Trump wins because that means California's vote is the same as Wisconsin's vote. And, you know, all those millions of people differences versus their congressional districts doesn't count anymore. Each state gets one vote. So Trump wins in that plan B. Plan C is, okay, if you don't throw it to the House, then Pence says, just give it back to the state legislatures. Well, guess what happens? Wisconsin is majority rural Republican. So if you give it back, even though Wisconsin, Biden won Wisconsin, you give it back to our state legislature, they're going to vote to let Trump win. So those numbers two and three options were the ones that they tried to have happen. But in order to even explain, have those two happen, you have to confuse the electorate. You have to say that all these seven states had such shenanigans going on. They had such crazy, like violations of electoral policy going on that we're allowed to throw out the electors. And so that's why these guys were part of the conspiracy. Johnson, Tiffany, and Fitzgerald, their job, and there was multiple jobs. It's like driving the getaway car. They didn't hold the gun and shoot, you know, on January 6th, but they had the getaway car, and their job was to confuse the electorate of Wisconsin so that Pence would be allowed to throw our electors out.
Well, obviously, it didn't come off successfully, as defined by Trump, because he's not currently the president. You know, but some of these things are still going on through the Gableman report and others. But back to the crux of this lawsuit, what were the specific actions of Johnson, Fitzgerald, and Tiffany then? Is it the simple act of objecting to the Electoral College count, or did they take a more active role, perhaps Scott Fitzgerald, letting the false electors into the Wisconsin state capitol to cast their very fraudulent votes for Trump?
The smoking gun is definitely Scott Fitzgerald. He let these guys into the Capitol building. That's like so completely blatant. But what people don't understand is that if I held a gun to you, Crudy, and I said, your money or your life, those are words. Those are words, and that's your money or your life is not protected by the First Amendment. If I'm saying words that break the law, that's not protected. So if there's a conspiracy to break the law, which is to install Donald Trump as president instead of Biden, that's breaking the law, and the words that help break that law are illegal and not protected by the First Amendment, which is Fitzgerald, Johnson, and Tiffany said the words. They lied. They lied. They lied. They lied over and over and over again to confuse the electorate.
Is stupidity or ignorance a defense in this case? We're almost out of time, Kirk. Stupidity or ignorance a defense for these Republicans? Yes or no?
They read the rules. You have to lie to the public, and that's your part of the conspiracy. They did their job. They drove the getaway car.
Man, I hope these lawsuits are successful. Kirk Bangstad and our good friend Minocqua Brewing Company will catch up real soon, Kirk. More Devil's Advocates.
I think the White House could have handled this better.
No, I don't see it. I don't see the support. I don't support it.
So are you going to interview me, or are you going to argue with me?